You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy, the time-traveling sommelier. Thank you, Rachel Chastain.
You two ready for this thing that we do?
Yeah, we gotta do jokes.
We gotta tell some funny things.
We gotta do jokes quicker.
We gotta read a folklore.
Our JPM is way down.
It's late summer. I know I'm spread thin. So I'm going to read you two a tale from somewhere in the world that you have probably not heard before. You two are going to interrupt, derail, and otherwise ruin my experience of being a storyteller by adding your own jokes, inserts, additions, changes, and things that we will forget to differentiate between the original tale. And then we will take this and fix it up.
But it is in pursuit of updating this folktale to a cleaner, sleeker version.
It is an evolutionary process.
It is the narrative, transitive, direct object, whatever it was that was said.
Folk tales for a long time have gotten away with being a little bit nonsensical, having major plot holes, and just waving things away with magic, and we're not going to let them get away with that anymore.
The butterfly may come out a little battered and bruised after this process, but it will be a butterfly. We can promise that. It will be changed.
Sometimes the caterpillar was more brightly colored than the butterfly that we bring out.
Sometimes the butterfly comes out dull and soulless.
But it has wings. A butterfly. All right, so this week we're going to be dipping back into our large backlog of Grimm suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Gramp.
Our good old Grimm buddies. We're going to be reading the Three Snake Leaves, suggested by Jenna, longtime nuisance of the show. Thank you, Jenna.
Snake leaves?
Yeah.
Like on the tree?
Yeah.
But like, they're snakes?
It's something to do with snakes, something to do with tree hats.
Or is it the snake leaves, departs?
I don't know, Gordy.
Because that would probably make more sense.
I don't want to spoil the story
for
you.
How many S's in leaves?
Just one.
It's not very snake-like.
I was going to say, yeah, a little more effort.
First change.
Please,
first
Grimm.
Fix.
Let's spruce that title
Come
up.
Come on, Grimm. You can get at least three S's on there. And when I say Grimm, I mean both of them. I refer to them as a unit.
Yeah, they've fused into one person.
Precisely.
At the hand. It was the writing hand. One of them was left-handed, one of them was right-handed, and those two hands fused together, so now they're one.
We have an executive producer this week.
Excellent.
This week is brought to you by Haley, who has been dubbed Arn Thompson type 1881, carried through the air by game birds.
Poor Quay.
It just sounded fun.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you
very
much.
Sounds like a good time. Can you think of something that would be more fun?
I would like to be carried through the air.
Than just be lifted in the air by a bunch of ducks?
Game birds, meaning the birds that we hunt.
Yes.
Or like
ducks.
Or like birds featuring in games.
Can I request quail for my game bird?
Life is like a hurricane.
Yeah.
Here at What the Folklore.
Yeah.
We get picked up by ducks and brought somewhere else that ducks wanted us to be.
Also, there is a lot of flooding.
I don't know that I would trust a place that ducks wanted me to be. If I'm being honest.
I mean, they don't have much way to communicate it to you other than to physically lift you and bring you there.
That's why I choose to ride Quail, the Uber to Ducks Lyft.
Show sponsored this week by Quail Airways. It is just birds.
It's a suit of birds.
It's not a plane. It is many birds.
Do you hate stewardesses? There aren't any on Quail. It's just a suit of birds.
You just put on the quail suit and it flies you away.
We hand you a pack of peanuts and you throw them in the direction that you want the quails to go.
Oh boy, it's like a carrot hanging from a stick kind of deal.
All right, are you two ready to read this snaky story?
Grimm it.
Grimm the engines.
Here we go. Once there was a poor man who could not afford to keep his only son.
I've heard this one before.
Sounds like a non-problem.
Yeah, a lot of times when I start one of these suggested stories, I have to get like halfway through before I'm like, okay, yeah, we didn't read this one.
Yeah, events are happening now.
So the son says to him, hey, Dad, you're so poor that I'm just a burden to you. Seems like a kind of sassy way to put that. Yo, Dad, couldn't get any money together.
To
so
be
I guess
clear,
I just
Father,
suck.
It is your fault.
You can't keep me in the lifestyle that I need.
I'm aware that I'm a problem, but it's mostly your fault.
I'm aware that my DJing career hasn't taken off yet. I do expect you to come through.
And also, where's my Xbox?
I know I haven't hit 1 million YouTube subscribers yet, but I'm on my way.
Jerry subscribed last week. That's 8.
I'm going to get that plaque and hang it up our hovel wall.
I keep my Twitch stream of World of Warcraft going strong. Everyone wants to watch that.
A Twitch stream of somebody playing an MMO. Yeah. I'm sure it exists.
All right, so since he is such a burden to his dad, he says he's just going to go and see if he can earn his own living.
Sensible.
Yeah, it's probably what you should do at some point as a grown-ass child.
That is a much more sensible response than the one we gave him.
And his dad's like, all right, cool, but he's sad about it because he's going to miss his bird leaving the empty nest.
How necessary was this exchange?
Completely. So about this time, when he is going out to seek a career path, a king of a powerful kingdom was carrying on a war like they do.
Mm-hmm.
So the youth took advantage of this employment opportunity and enlisted.
I'll do a war.
I'll Twitch stream it.
I'm down for a war. Or did he just...
I'll periscope a war.
Did he? Oh, no. I
forgot periscope existed.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet, but it will soon.
Surely.
If this year keeps going the way it is, our next war is going to be... We're going to have fully live coverage all the time.
The revolution will be periscoped?
Yeah. What's that from?
Is it...
The phrase?
Will be televised?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where it's from, right, but it needed an update.
Yeah.
We're beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah, television is passé. It is just a box to watch your PlayStation on.
We're beyond live tweeting.
That's true. All right, so while battling the enemy, they ran into some hot fighting.
Ooh.
The bullets,
tell me more.
The bullets were falling so thickly that this man's comrades around him were just like dropping dead.
Ooh.
Ooh, it got
sad.
I was debating whether I should say less sexy or more sexy. I think I'm gonna
sad ski.
I'm gonna go with less.
That was a tightrope.
Sad skis when you sure. try to seduce people with tragedy.
Yeah.
Sad ski.
It's like you know you should zig, but everything in your being is telling you to zag.
When the leader fell, the rest of the army wanted to run away, but the youth stepped forward and encouraged them to just press on, which then resulted in the defeat of the enemy.
So he's a general now.
Yeah, by willpower.
Right.
Like, running away would have made his Twitch stream real lame, so he knew he had to do something.
And then he met a snakes.
This got him internet famous, and the king heard that this fellow was the sole reason for his victory.
Maybe he should be king.
He raised...
No, perish the thought.
No. He should give me
but
a coat.
I'm king.
He did raise him higher from than anyone else in the kingdom, and...
You're almost king.
Like, he made him first in the kingdom below him, gave him a higher rank than anyone else in the army, and a lot of treasure.
You can be ing. That's almost king.
Or kin.
It's the closest to king.
You can be kin.
Is that why...
Well, I didn't say king, because that's a real thing. I wanted to say a thing that sounded question.
Is that why they call it next of kin?
Yeah, because you're almost as important.
Because the next in line is kin after king.
I mean...
And then it's k.
Next of k.
Next of k. My brand new cereal coming to supermarkets everywhere. Next of K.
You play anti-hangman until the whole family's dead.
Anti-hangman?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Take letters away until it's all blank spaces.
Mmm.
Because then the family's dead.
Seems like a harder game.
It's a harder game.
And a harsher
Higher
game.
Stakes.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of kin, enter beautiful daughter.
Yay.
Sure. There had to be one.
Yep. She was waiting in the wings the whole time. So I sourced this particular one from two places, Sacred Texts and a Carnegie Mellon website, strangely listed under their computer science department.
Mm-hmm. You think Carnegie Mellons taste good?
They taste intellectual.
Okay. I'm very tired.
So there were a couple of subtle differences in the translations on these two sites. So Sacred Text claimed that this beautiful daughter was capricious.
Yep.
Carnegie Mellon claims she is very strange.
Those are not the same.
They're not exclusive to each other.
They're not. They're just to paint you a whole picture of what the original German might have been going for.
So who said capricious?
Sacred Texts.
So Carnegie Mellon just said weird.
Yeah.
Seems...
This one's an odd duck.
Seems less intelligent than capricious. Just saying, if you want to, pit the two against each other.
Maybe the melon, like...
The melon is leaking.
Yeah. She had vowed to marry no one who would not promise to bury himself alive with her if she died first. Her reasoning being that if he loves her truly, what use would life be to him after she's dead? And she... In return, will also, if he dies before her, will also be buried alive with him. So, tit for tat, whoever goes first, the other one gets to, live in their grave.
That's all well and good.
Suicide pact, kinda. Well,
kinda. Death That's pact. Kind of my problem with it, is why alive?
They have to live, they have to live alive in there?
They have to be buried alive. So they'll be alive for a little bit.
Okay.
That seems needlessly cruel.
You saying, why can't they just die normal?
Or seppuku.
Or that. Yeah, but like regular death of their choosing.
Well, I just mean if you want them buried with you.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be alive?
Right. Like
that
let
seems
them
just mean
let them choose the method of their death.
Right.
Even if they don't get to choose the time.
Sure.
Well, she does promise to do the same.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah. She's been reading a lot of teen romance novels.
You swipe left on that one.
A lot of people did. Would you say that was capricious or very strange?
Very strange.
So Carnegie Mellon might not have had the...
Well, hold on. That's just me. Gordy, what do you think? Capricious or very strange?
50-50.
So I think it's more very strange than capricious. I see capricious being slightly more flaky when it's used to describe someone that they tend to be a little bit more flaky.
So it'd be the opposite.
Yeah, she seems pretty resolute in this odd thing.
Yeah.
It's
a deal breaker.
Most every suitor has swiped left on this because the vow was pretty frightening to them. But this young man swiped right real hard because his boner was strong and he had no hesitations other she's beautiful. Done.
I mean, he currently has nothing to live for anyway.
He's got treasure and he's an ing.
Yeah, he's very powerful.
Well, that happened very suddenly.
Right.
And recently.
Right.
He's not used to that.
Yeah.
He's still living under the mindset of being a burden and useless.
Okay, yeah.
These are new to his lifestyle.
I mean, yeah, wait. I think in this particular case, it is less not being attached to this newfound wealth that he doesn't care about the dying. It is more his boner is doing the talking for him because it does say he is so entranced by her beauty. It is because she's super hot that he is swiping right. He does not care how many red flags are waving in the photos behind her on the Tinder page.
The words don't even register.
No, it's just yeah, that one. So the king's hey, you sure about this? And he says, my love is so great, I do not even think of the risk. So that is boner talk.
That?
The young man who was a poor...
No, who says, are you sure about this?
The king... Her dad.
The king's trying to get it signed in triplicate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because he's been having a problem getting rid of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she threw a wrench. He got a beautiful daughter, and he's oh, yeah.
Easy street.
We'll put her portrait out on a windowsill. We'll get 800 princes in line. And then she pulled this weird, she read too much teen romance fanfic in her, nascent puberty. And it has colored her perception of what romance looks like.
Could it be that she is why there was war?
Maybe.
Or is that just what the king's about?
She is the cause of war?
I think kings just They don't need a casus belli. They just do war.
Like
for the same reason that they want coat.
A prince suitor heard the offer and was so offended that the king had to war him.
I mean, maybe. We've just had quarrelsome neighbors, though. Like, kings just do war sometimes.
That's true.
And then
he meets a snake.
So they do a marriage thing, and they live for a long time very happily, but then the young queen falls suddenly ill, doctors can do nothing for her, and she kicks it.
His collar starts to sweat.
Yeah, it does. The young king remembers his promise, and while it makes him shudder, there was no escape. Not just because, like, the honor of his word, but also because her dad had set up guards before all the gates so that he couldn't avoid his fate.
Several people heard me say it, I guess.
It was in the wedding vows very clearly.
I did sign that form in triplicate.
And her dad's going to hold him to it. Like, he might think this is a crazy-ass thing his daughter wanted, but she wanted it and he's going to make sure she gets it.
You don't want me to war, do you?
So her corpse was laid out in a royal vault and he was let in with it and the entrance is bolted up. So he's not going to be like, you know, royals get a nice room for their bodies to molder in.
It's a tomb.
Yeah.
Not a box.
Yeah, he's not going to be sucking in dirt.
It's a spacious box.
Yeah. Near her coffin, there was a table with 4 candles, 4 loaves of bread, and 4 bottles of wine.
4 candles or 4 candles?
Hmm?
Nothing.
No, that's an important distinction, I think.
Was it
4 candles? Or was it 4 candles?
If anybody picks up on that, please let me know. Please, like, if you understand that reference.
There's a candle for each corner of the table.
A candle.
But how will you hold the forks?
What are the state of the forks, please?
None forks, only candles.
No forks, only candles.
No 4 candles?
There's the end of that bit.
When he runs out of these rations that have been laid out for him.
So, like, 4 days?
He's just gonna have to waste away and die slowly.
That was the plan.
Now, I don't think this specifically was in that contract. He's in a spacious tomb. They probably could have given him
a couple days more.
Yeah, like a decent repast.
Yeah, I mean, if he is really rich, he could have just built like a whole pyramid.
Yeah.
I guess, and just lived inside the rest of his days.
If he was to devote 1 day to each stage of grief, he wouldn't even have enough bread.
It's true.
He couldn't finish.
Yeah, he's going to have to, like, choke on the 4th stage, and that's it. That's all he gets.
And then he met a snake.
So he sits in grief and misery, eating just a little bit of the bread every day and drinking just a mouthful of the wine.
Bread's going to go worse before the wine does.
Yeah, it's going to be gross. Like, you can stretch this out all you want. That bread is going to be stale and nasty.
Mold.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on how damp it is, whether it goes stale or moldy first.
It's bad for you either way. Don't eat bread.
Ever.
Don't eat bread. I can't eat bread. Nobody should eat bread.
Just eat bones.
Just eat the bones of whoever's dead in there. Eat bone meal. You can do it in Morrowind.
Yeah, she didn't say that you can't eat me once I'm dead.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot of protein just sitting there on a slab.
Yeah.
At least make a sandwich.
One day, as he was staring moodily in front of him, he saw a snake creep out of the corner.
And then he met a snake.
Yep, there you go. It happened. Unlike the bee in the orange tree, this one really happened. And the snake approached the corpse, thinking it was going to touch the corpse, according to sacred
snake
texts.
Lore.
Or gnaw at it, as Carnegie Mellon translated.
Carnegie Mellon? What do you know about snakes? Not much.
No. He drew a sword and says, "As long as I live, you shall not touch her," and hews the snake in 3 pieces. That was the Carnegie Mellon one, was the "you shall not touch her." Mm-hmm. Sacred text was "you shall not harm her," which makes a little less sense because already corpse.
Yeah, hard to harm.
After a bit, a second snake creeps out of the corner. It sees the first one lying dead in pieces and leaves.
Yeah, smart.
Not interested in this scene.
It does.
Oh, shit. James.
My best friend, James.
My friend and brother. And dad. Not James, dad.
My brother, dad.
Anyway, I'll see ya.
It comes again soon, but this time it has 3 green leaves in its mouth.
Oh, I thought it was like bringing friends.
It is, but the friends are tree hats.
He's going to get a gang to come back.
A gang of snakes.
Get this guy.
They're snapping their tails.
I need like three of you to grab that sword from him.
So he took the bits of the snake and laid them in order.
The snake did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he put one of the leaves on each wound.
Okay. So like little grass skirts for a snake.
Yeah.
And this man is just watching at sword length.
Well, what else is he going to... This is the first entertainment that has entered this corpse den in a while.
How many days? How many hungry?
Many, many hungry.
So maybe not happening.
It's true. He has had only alcohol to drink and not a lot of that either.
So maybe not even has sword.
Maybe not even 4 days, because I think you die. We can get into this in the discussion, but alcohol dehydrates you?
Yeah, that would make it worse.
Okay, so immediately after the leaves were placed on the snake, the pieces of the snake joined together, and the snake was alive again, and both snakes get the hell out of Dodge. But I just want to take a moment to imagine how the snake with leaves in its mouth would collect its comrades' body bits and line them up.
Just with mouth?
Probably like tail and stuff. They got a whole body. I just want a visualization, because these stories get away with just saying stuff happens.
Right. Well, they just put them back together like puzzle pieces.
Because I get just to watch a snake do its snake stuff very frequently. I'm just having trouble envisioning her carefully placing anything.
I'm into a snake rezzing another snake like they're playing a snake MMO.
Yeah, that's very good.
Together. They're just on a little snake adventure.
Snake quest.
And they ran out of Phoenix Downs.
This is the boss raid they're trying to do.
Just a wine addled.
It's one of WoW's saddest kind of quests.
The wine-addled kind of king.
The wine-addled almost king who has to live in his dead wife's grave.
So they left the leaves on the ground when they left there. And the man
used up the juice.
The man stares at the leaves in his wine-addled state. And he realizes, maybe this works on people, too.
Hang on. I have a dead. I'd like her to not be that.
Because it would be great to get out of here. So he takes the leaves, and he lays one on her mouth and the other two on her eyes.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I figured they'd go.
Yeah, that's where the sick was, I guess. That's where the dead was.
One on an ear, one on a toe.
One on her butt.
One in her knee pits.
Just one on the butt. Did you say knee pits?
Yeah.
After a little bit, the blood begins circulating in her veins, and then she draws a breath and opens her eyes and asks, "Where am I?" as all fainting victims from movies ask.
Mm-hmm.
He explained everything that had happened and gave her some of his stale-ass bread and wine.
Eat, drink,
be merry.
And then the two of them banged and yelled at the door until the guards went to the king and was like, "Hey, there's a ruckus coming from your daughters."
Carmen, that is not how I thought it was. Yeah. Gonna end.
They banged on the door, not each other while yelling at the door.
She ate stale bread, drank ucky wine, and then they just fucked.
While yelling at the guards to come get them out.
Like, stale bread and like 4-day-old open container vinegar wine is like the strongest aphrodisiac, especially if you've been dead.
True. Thank you, Grim.
Now you know.
Sorry, it's not the end of the episode yet.
No, you're not allowed to thank anybody yet. Keep that gratitude to yourself. The king himself comes to open the door and rejoices to find them both happy and well. So maybe they were banging.
We buried you by accident.
Look at that afterglow. What were you two up to? So the young king, like during this rejoicing, slips the three snake leaves to a servant and tells him to keep them carefully and also always carry them with him, because you never know when we might need these. It did seem, however, that an odd change had come over the young queen after her return to life.
She was snake-like?
Specifically, all the love she had for her husband had faded from her heart.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Just from being dead?
Yeah, like that, the death just leached all that affection out of her.
Yeah.
Sometime afterward, the young king wanted to take a journey overseas to his old father. And when they were on board the ship, she forgot her great love and faithfulness to him.
Mm-hmm.
And also the love and faithfulness he'd shown her and the saving of her life and all the other things that have gone into this marriage. I mean, it is till death do us part, and they did kind of like cross that threshold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good faith effort.
Well, forgetting all of these things, she falls in love with the captain, according to sacred texts,
mm-hmm.
or the skipper, according to Carnegie Mellon.
A three-hour tour.
Skipper.
One day, when the king was asleep, she called her new lover to her, and she grabbed the king's sleeping head and had her lover grab his feet, and together they threw him into the sea.
Bizarre.
Not dad. Husband.
Husband.
Okay.
Husband.
Borderline
king.
Psychotic.
Well, there were signs.
I knew that this wasn't where the story was going to go, but I was kind of hoping he would just keep seeing snakes solving his problems, but in a snake way. So, like, he sees two snakes go up to a snake attorney and, like, draw up divorce papers, but for snakes. And he's like, hang on. Now there's an idea.
They leave the divorce papers behind. And he picks them up. He's like, I wonder.
These are in snake.
I wonder if these work for people, too.
You know I don't read snake.
Unbeknownst to the young queen and her new skipper captain lover, they had been observed by the same servant that the king had entrusted the leaves to.
Mm-hmm.
And unobserved by them, because maybe they were distracted, the servant drops a boat into the water from the ship, like a little lifeboat type thing. And he goes rowing toward where he saw the king drop in.
The king is not buoyant at all.
Probably a little bit buoyant.
Like normal buoyant.
It sounds like he sank immediately.
They just threw him in the sea.
Oh.
He sank from the ship's side, but like through air and then into water. Right. So the servant's doing this while the queen is telling her lover that they're going to go home and they're going to tell her dad that he died on the journey. And then she'll sing this new dude's praises so that dad's like, yeah, you can have another wedding, sure.
I almost died, sweetie. But he saved me.
And then this guy will be the heir to the throne. So the traitors sail on, and the faithful servant rows after his master, grabs the drowned man out of the water, and uses the three snake leaves to bring him back to life again.
On his butt?
On his butt.
Nice.
In his butt?
Just on it.
Not in it?
Yeah, this is a topical medicine.
Oh, It's not a suppository.
Nope. So both the king and the servant rowed as hard as they could night and day, and the little boat went so quickly somehow that they reached the old king before the ship with its sails and full crew.
Yep, they did. They didn't know that they had three snakes doing little motorboats with their tails.
Going brrrr the whole way. The king was astonished to see them come back alone and asked them, yo, what happened? And they told him the whole thing, and he had a lot of trouble believing the extent of the wickedness of his weird goth daughter, but figures the truth will come to light and sends them to a secret chamber to just chill out.
Love a good secret chamber.
The green room.
so to speak.
It's got Diet Cokes and red M&Ms.
Yeah, it's got light refreshments.
Soon after this, the large ship comes in and the wicked lady appears before her father with a sad face. And he asks her, hey, where'd you put your husband? I don't see him with you. And she makes up the story about him having fallen ill and then dying. And then this dude here, this captain/skipper, had helped her and saved her from dying herself.
So I guessed it.
Yeah, you did.
He followed me home. Can I keep him?
Can I keep him in my bed? Yeah, but you can ask him the story like he was there. He saw the whole thing.
He will corroborate.
Yep. The king says, well, I have the power to bring the dead back to life. And then he opens the chamber door and lets her real husband out.
It's not a very good, like, it's not very showy.
No, he didn't have the time to prep the smoke bombs.
Right, no smoke machines or light shows.
I think he was going to, and then the other ship came in pretty quick.
Oh, fuck. I'll just open the door.
It'll be fine. A shock will be cool. So the lady is thunderstruck when she sees her husband.
By AC/DC.
Yeah. And she falls to her knees, begging him for mercy.
By AC/DC.
Shaking at the knees?
I don't know.
Her dad interrupts her begging her husband with, No. No mercy for you.
By AC/DC.
He was ready to die with you.
That's Metallica.
He sat in your grave. He restored you to life. And then you killed him while he was sleeping.
That's Megadeth.
You.
This is a good game. This requires really very little understanding from me.
you shall receive your just desserts for this. So
that's Nickelback.
I'd be deeply uncomfortable with a Nickelback album with that title.
Just desserts.
You shall receive your just desserts.
All right, so just desserts in this particular case are not a Nickelback album, but the king has his daughter and her new lover put into a ship that they pre-board with holes, and then they put them out to sea and watched it sink and had them perish in the waves. The king end.
This is not an ideas game.
No, maybe not where his strong suit lies.
This seems like a very expensive corporal punishment.
A whole boat?
Yeah, a ship. It's not just a boat.
Were they gonna scuttle it anyway?
They have a rule where they only go out on fresh ships, so anytime new one comes in, they sink it.
Does scuttle mean to deliberately sink?
I think.
Or does that mean to, scrap it for parts?
Is there a difference?
I don't... Well, in one, you just kind of blow it up and send it to the bottom of the ocean where nobody has to deal with it, and the other one, you maybe take it apart at the dock.
I feel
scuttling is the deliberate sinking of a ship by allowing water to flow into the hull.
So it's just ocean littering.
Right. Because I'm fairly certain there are...
Ooh, man, the Urban Dictionary... I didn't read that it was the Urban Dictionary thing. That's immediately the second one.
Yeah. Do we want to know?
I'll just let you...
Is it a thing that snakes can do?
And no, it is a variant of the donkey punch, which is a thing that I know thanks to a German exchange student who sat with us at lunch once and went through all of Urban Dictionary at us.
Was he a Grimm brother?
Might have been.
Did he write this story?
The Grimm brothers present the donkey's punch.
The donkey's final punch. You said this king is not an ideas king.
Right.
He does execute on his ideas fairly well.
And immediately,
he can carry it out, right? Yeah. They did get the tomb thing.
He's a speedrun king.
He did get this boat sent out. He's kind of like a reverse George Lucas.
He is the justice king. Whatever justice needs to be done, whether it's holding a man with his dead wife because that was in the vows, yep, or drowning his daughter in the ocean because she did that to somebody, he seeks justice.
I mean, he comes up with this grand plan of, I'm going to say I can bring the dead back to life. And he's just open a door.
Yeah.
Now that's how shall I truly mete out your punishment for your terrible crimes? This is a boat with holes.
He's very much a dad.
Yeah.
He's more dad than he is king.
The game's on. Just sink.
I don't care.
Get
how
in a
it
boat
happens.
And sink. Gordon, to answer your question previously, I think that there are boo-boos that a boat can get that are so bad that make it so that you can't get parts from that ship. You just gotta litter it.
Sure. I mean, I get.
Or that ship has secrets on it.
No, I understand, if you're in a situation where, it's already out to sea, mm-hmm, and it's just not, you just can't salvage it.
Yeah.
I get that. In this case, the image in my mind was we don't need this boat anymore. I guess we'll send it out into the ocean and just send it to the bottom there. Isn't it okay? Does it have good stuff on it? We'll make more.
You could build a house out of that wood.
Well, they just made it a new kind of prison.
Yes.
Death prison.
It's a, well, yeah, prison.
It's a sinking prison.
Yeah, it's not a prison for long, because then they die.
Right.
If you bring your wife back to life from the dead, are you still married?
Are you still what?
Legally married.
Legally married.
I mean, you did bring up death do us part.
Right.
Which they did do.
Yeah, death did part them.
I think that's null and void. I think you have a case.
Yeah, so they're not married unless they redid vows. So it's not unreasonable for her to not have feelings for him, I guess.
I mean, who's to say that isn't how it would work for anyone who comes back from the dead? Maybe you just get a reboot.
Yeah, he doesn't apparently have many feelings for her now.
Yeah, why is this a problem?
The murdering.
I almost wish they had seen a snake divorce.
Yeah, the murdering thing definitely went above and beyond.
I mean, that was divorce of the day.
Throw your husband into the sea.
No one had realized yet that, oh, we can just not do this anymore.
King Henry VIII hadn't been like, I want childbearing hips, but I don't want to always murder.
Some kind of non-murder separation.
I only have one question.
Yeah.
Do you think those snakes finished their raid?
Yeah, they seem like they had all of their equipment together.
Where are those snakes now?
It's a great question.
That they are done, and how many are there total? Is it three?
No.
It was just two.
Two snakes, three leaves.
There's two snakes? That seems weird. There's a third one.
Well, one was in the support class, and one was a tank.
Right. No, there needs to be
a third snake. The support class one was the one that put together the leaves.
So the third snake, DPS, was the rogue.
Yeah, we just didn't see it.
Just didn't see it.
Because it's very good at its job.
We've seen a lot of, like, water of life and death. Have mm-hmm. we seen leaves or poultices of life and death?
I assumed the water was on the leaves.
Yeah, I figured that it was maybe some kind of plant that was grown with those waters.
It was just imbued with that water, and it eked out.
Yeah, from Baba Yaga's garden.
Right.
It's potent, so it can be soaked into things.
And it's enough on these leaves that it has three uses at least.
Right. Well, two and a half. I'm not going to say a snake is a full use. Snakes are tiny. Not as much soul.
To bring back?
Yeah.
Well, it also mended a body hewn up. Like, the other two bodies had just, like, drowned and illness.
Right.
So there was less physical damage to repair? Sure.
I guess, yeah. It depends on if it is soul damage or physical damage.
Like, repair physical damage, call soul back. Now, the snakes did come into a corner of a tomb.
Yeah.
Which means they might have come from the underground realms.
Right.
Or the outside.
You mean the above ground ones?
Yeah, just like outside where snakes live.
I mean, yeah.
They came from a real bog or the bad bog.
above bog bog or under bog bog.
The under bog. Right.
The under bog, I like that.
My impression was more an under bog entry because they come from a corner. Seemed like a ground level
mm-hmm.
corner.
Mm-hmm. And it is like an underground tomb.
Eh, maybe. Who knows? I'm just throwing out things and hoping that some of the spaghetti sticks to the wall.
Yeah, I'm not well acquainted with the ambitions of earth snakes. But I do believe that an underbog snake would be the one to go on a D&D adventure.
Judging from the sound of that place, I would agree with you. If nothing else, it gets them away from Hithertoad for a little bit.
Just for a bit.
Like it is a welcome respite from being watched from every angle at once.
That's endgame.
Endgame is yeah. Hithertoad?
Yeah.
All right, I think Hithertoad might be our endgame tonight. thank you very much, Jenna, for once again nuisancing the show with one of your suggestions. We really appreciate it.
I feel like we should probably mention, like, in case this does end up sounding more stilted than usual, there is a toad in the machine tonight.
There is. The hither toad has been messing with the Audacity recording. Tyler described it as the bumper-to-bumper Atlanta traffic,
like every time,
of the podcast.
Every time we have hit a stride and really got some momentum going,
Audacity like,
slams
no.
on the goddamn brakes.
So, yeah, if it sounds just a little bit weird, we are solving some technical problems.
We're trying to get our head back in the game each time.
Good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. That'll be sorted out before the next recording. I really, really hope, because boy howdy, does this add unnecessary time.
But thank you, Jenna.
Thank you very much, Jenna. And thank you to our executive producer.
Thank you, Haley.
Thank you, Haley.
Fly off with those game birds to somewhere better than here.
Yes. Take the quail.
Maybe.
Don't take duck.
Maybe bring us with you.
Yeah.
I'd like to go.
If there's room.
Yeah.
The duck.
We can all take quail.
I'm taking duck.
I'm not taking duck. You take duck. Duck is the delta.
I'm taking
of the game bird sky.
Yeah, duck will watch Shrek with me.
That's a good point.
And Baywatch with no sound.
Baywatch with no sound three times.
Happened to me on other people's screens.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, all patrons.
Thank you, patrons. Thank you to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Robert, Jeremiah, Roast Rabbit, Haley, Whisper Biscuit, Timothy, Dom, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you, top tier patrons.
Thank you.
You guys rock. And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Hither Toad.
No thank you, Hither Toad.
I was going to say no thank you, Audacity.
No thank you, Audacity.
Like, so many years of faithful service and then suddenly a knife in the back.
Not even a Church of the Knife knife. This is a lame knife.
Not a good knife. No knife miracle.
It's like a shitty little knife.
It's just bad.
It's knife blasphemy.
It's a plastic knife from Arby's.
It's just bad.
Thank you, Cricket, for settling down and not playing with all your noisy toys for the entirety of this recording.
Thank you, Cricket.
Thanks, Cricket. It's more than you deserve. You do not do any work here.
She made us a gift earlier.
Yeah, from
the start to the show.
From the inside of her stomach.
She's had a banner night.
Thank you, snakes.
Thank you, snakes.
Thank you, snakes.
We are what the what? What are we? We're what the folklore.
What that's the how, what? Bye bye.
It's not
that's
working.
How it works. It's time for sleep.
Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, 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 happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, shall live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.